weeks ago, I did a whole bunch of series on who do you think you are? And you are the, what else? Ambassadors, what else? Overcomers, what else? I wrote them down, what else? Masterpieces, I'm adding one to your list. You are extraordinary. Okay, you are extraordinary. You can slap it together real fast, extraordinary. But I'm going to say it extraordinary, and that's what the Lord gave me today to help us in our life. Now, what did this was probably January, which is last month. What day is it? Last month, Sherry and I were at Kenneth Copeland's Ministers Conference. And wonderful ministers of God. And Jerry Savelle, anybody know who Jerry Savelle is? He lives down south. He's got a twang to his voice. But he's been around the block a lot. And he's been a man of integrity. So he shared a prophecy that the Lord had given him years ago. And he was sharing at these meetings on how he saw it fulfilled and still needing to be fulfilled. So I heard the prophecy, and it just was impacting in my life. I want to read it to you, because I'm going to do like three directions. Already, Jerry Savelle, a prophecy God had spoken to him for him and the body. If you're the body of Christ, raise your hand. If not, the rest of you guys nail them later, okay? I will do for you what you have tried to do for yourself but could not do. Are you trying to do things and you just can't do? All right. I will cause to come to pass those things which you have strived for and tried to accomplish in your own strength and in your own might, but you just could not make them happen. Anybody have a list of those? I have a garage full. I will bring them to pass for you. Extraordinary things will become the norm in your life. Things that never happen to most people in a lifetime will happen to you in 1 year's time. It's time to expect the extraordinary. And this was a prophecy the Lord gave him years ago. Not a zillion years ago, but a few years ago. And when I heard him read this, the part about extraordinary things will become the norm in your life. You need to write it down. Extraordinary things will become the norm in your life. God's lights were shining in my brain, and he says, you are not expecting in areas of your life for extraordinary things to be the norm. And I thought I had a great big expectancy in a whole bunch of things. But he started, you know what I say, pulling the little fuzzies off of your sweater. And I said, yes, Lord, you're right. I dropped the ball in that area. I have not been expecting extraordinary things. Now, before I go, and we're going to look at this prophecy because it's actually the Bible. Just put in words that just shake you up a little bit. But I want to talk first about prophecy. All right, excuse me. You know who. Yeah, okay. Buck and I got this one. All right. Prophecy, all right? Prophecy. I want to talk about prophecy. This is the definition from Vine's Expository Dictionary. If you have one, go look it up, but I'll tell you what it means. Prophecy, and that was what I read, but prophecy is the speaking forth of the mind and the counsel of God. Prophecy is the speaking forth of the mind and the counsel of God. It is not fortune telling. It is not to manipulate someone to do something. And I have heard some screwball prophecies that you should flush, okay? But prophecy is speaking forth the mind and the counsel of God. Now, a prophecy is when a messenger, raise your hand. All of you. You all are messengers and representatives of the Most High God. That means, Okay, prophecy is when a messenger or a representative of God will proclaim the will of God which usually can't be known or understood through the natural means. All right? Prophecy. Now, downstairs on Thursday night, this is the book. I have a whole bunch of them. I think we bought 100 of them for like $2. $2. If you want this book, go see Sherry. She'll give you the book for $2, all right? Excellent. I think I'm on my fourth time. Raise your hand if you have this book. Wonderful. And this is just, it's called, excuse me, I'm ahead of myself. It's by Lester Summerall, The Gifts and Ministries of the Holy Spirit. It's Understanding the Gifts and the Holy Spirit for Dummies 101. It is an easy reader, okay? So if you were like me, oh man, this stuff's just way up here. I don't get it. This is the 101 for Dummies, all right? Get the book, all right? Kathy, where's Kathy? Kathy here today? We don't have this in the bookstore, correct? No, I did the special order for the guys group, so you don't have to mess with it. Okay. All right. She's like, all right. Now, the purpose of what I read in the beginning by Jerry Savelle, a prophecy that the Lord gave him, the purpose of a prophecy is E-E-C. Write those letters down. E-E-C. It means to encourage, to edify, and the C means to comfort. So, if you walk away feeling slimed and depressed because somebody said, thus saith the Lord, chuck it out. It was not a prophecy. Now, those of you who've been around the block a few times, we've heard some goofball things. Goofball. Okay, not even going on there. All right, so, everybody say E-E-C. What does it mean? Encourage, edify, and comfort. All right. Now, a prophecy can be given through a messenger or a representative of God. Raise your hands if you're born again. That's y'all. Okay. And it can be given to an individual. All right. For a specific situation. Many times you'll see this, and I've had this happen through me and to me. There's a calling forth for a congregation to come up front for prayer, all right? Has anybody been in a prayer line? And the minister will go and he'll pray and just lay hands on you and pray for healing. And all of a sudden they'll come back and they'll say, brother, and usually what Jack would do is turn the microphone, because many times it's not for you all, it's for you. Turn the microphone off and they'd say some very specific things that nobody else knows, and you need to know, okay? All right, so I have been in that situation where someone has spoken to me. Matter of fact, I'll tell you the one. Jack and I, we were first out at Rhema, Faith Christian Fellowship it became our home church, and we were there. We moved there right after camp meeting in July. It was probably like 3 weeks later, and we went to a Sunday night service. Place is standing room only. Sunday night service, and they called for people who wanted prayer for a specific thing. Now, I can't remember the specific thing, but I do know I was in line. And I'm getting in line just because I was like, well, gee, half the place is up here. I'll get in line. Okay, good. So I'm in line, and the associate pastor, Larry Huggin, comes up, and he's just laying hands, just saying, you know, life of God, be healed, da-da-da-da, and it comes back to me. All right, now this is the late 70s. I'm not quite so sanctified. And I'm wearing a midriff shirt. You all know what that is? Right to here. Bell-bottom hip huggers, you know, back in the day. Had long hair. And he comes back to me and he says, he didn't turn his microphone off. Oh, gosh. And he said, I've been after you, thus saith the Lord, I've been after you like a dog to a new pan. And I have, now they were all from Oklahoma, Alabama, and I'm like, huh? I'm from New Jersey, you know. But as soon as he said that and I got past the y'all stuff, I thought, God has been after me. And there was more to it, and it's not none of your business, all right? Okay. But the other part you have to know is then he laid hands on me, bam, slain in the spirit, midriff shirt up to here. And I thought, that was it, cleaned out my wardrobe. I was thoroughly convinced I was done with midriff shirts, you know. Man, gee, it was a good thing I was 25, 30 pounds lighter then, so it wasn't so bad. All right. So prophecy can begin to an individual for a specific situation. Many times in private and in prayer lines, it's also meant to be publicly done to encourage, to EEC, edify, encourage, and comfort, right? All right, now, sometimes prophecy is given to an unbeliever. Now, I was talking about me and believers, but many times oftentimes it can also be used to a word for an unbeliever. Well, that happened to me, too, before I got saved. Pat DeLeese invited me to this group on a Wednesday night, and Lou was leading it back in the day, and I didn't know what the heck I was getting into, and I was as sorry lost in college, and you can fill in all the blanks. So I go to this because I had seen a tremendous change in Pat. So I go to this, and I wasn't sure what I was into, but I was really hungry for God. So the guy says, we're just talking, and they're reading their Bibles, and I didn't even have a Bible. And he turns around, and he says something about, there has been a great loss in your life, but I have come to heal your heart, and you're not to be concerned, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I'm sobbing. Because what had happened is a month before, maybe it was several months before, my twin brother had died. Killed in an auto accident, and I was just carrying this in my heart. Nobody knew that in that room. So that was an EEC, encouraging, edifying, and comforting. Amen, right? All right. So, giving you some examples. Also, a prophecy may be given to the body of Christ in general. Raise your hand, you're the body of Christ. Such as Kenneth Copeland had received a word for the 2013, and you turn on his program, what is he saying? This is a prophetic word. This is the year 2013, a year of great grace. All right. So, God will speak through a messenger, all right, and give a word for the general, the whole shooting match of y'all, okay, the whole body of Christ. But always, 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 prophecy is an EEC, encouraging, edifying, and comforting, all right? Now, I have to lay the first foundation here so I can get to really where I want to go, all right? Turn over to 1 Timothy. I'm going to give you one scripture about prophecy, and then we're really going where I really want to go. Okay, now, so a prophecy is EEC, encouraging, edifying, comforting. And number two, prophecy should be taken seriously and reverently. Basically, don't take it lightly. If it is a messenger who is giving a word to EEC you, encourage, edify, and comfort you, you should, you know, don't be sitting there snapping your gum and digging through your purse and playing with your cell phone when a prophecy goes forth, okay? Now, 1 Timothy 1, 18 through 19. This is Paul, the Apostle Paul, the messenger, the Apostle Paul, the representative of God, the Apostle Paul, talking to his son in the Lord. Who is his name? Timothy, all right? So we are in the book of Timothy, 1 Timothy 1:18. This charge, another translation says, this command and admonish, and I commit and trust to you, Timothy, my son, in accordance with the prophetic utterance which I formerly, I don't want to read it out of that. Carol, can you throw that up on the King James for me? Or that's not Carol, that's Michelle. Hallelujah. I want to get to the Amplified later, sorry. 1 Timothy 1:18. Yeah. New King James, Old King James, the King James. All right. Tell me when. Yeah. Okay. It's actually, I'm cooling down while I'm up here. Jesus. All right. We good? Okay. This charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies of the prophecies previously made concerning you. Oh, so it sounds like Timothy had some prophecies previously given to him. All right? Am I reading that right? Okay, y'all there? That by them you may wage the good warfare. So something about, that's good, I won't have to go there. So something about these prophecies that were given to Timothy were to be used to wage a good warfare. Is that good? All right? So, the Amplified says they are to inspire and aid them to wage a good warfare. So if, in general, the general body of Christ, we hear or we read a prophecy, don't take them lightly. Take them to wage a good warfare, okay? If someone gives you a personal, a private, I don't want to say personal, private, examine it, see if you need to take it to wage a good warfare. Because it's hell out there, you guys, and right? All right, so you need to take that so you can be fighting a good warfare, so you're not standing there empty-handed. That's what this whole purpose is about. Now, the question that happens a lot of times, by the way, this is like the pre-message. The question is, sometimes we have a problem with the vessels, all right? Nuts, fruits, flakes, vessels, all right? But God gave you a brain in your head, and you need to just check out the vessel, all right? So if it's not an EEC, chuck the thing. Don't chuck the vessel. Throw them off the roof. Just chuck out what they said. Make sure it's EEC. All right. So you need to do that. I have heard some humdillies. I'm not even going to go there where I'm going, what on earth were they saying that for? You know, but I have been under the ministries of some wonderful men and women of God. And when, especially back in the day, when Brother Hagin would give a prophecy for the congregation, or in general, the body of Christ, my antennas went up because I knew the vessel. He was pretty reputable, okay? All right, and I would get that my antenna up, and I would I would take it seriously and write it down and ponder it. Now, interesting thing about prophecies, this is where I'm going, is you have a part to play with them. I ran into this old friend of mine, and she says, oh, I have written down all these prophecies that were given to me or that she has heard. And she opens them up and looks at them and closes them and puts them on the shelf, and she was kind of complaining, well, I don't understand why nothing's happening. Why? Because you have a part to play in this. You have a part to play in it, right? All right, so such as that one when I was in the line in my outfit and, you know, da-da-da-da-da. Okay, but I'll give you a good one. Right before Jack and I left Tulsa, we told our pastor that we were going to leave. We had met with him and prayed with him, and he said that last Sunday, you all come on up front, and we'll lay hands on you and send you forth. So they did that, and they spoke a prophetic word over Jack and a prophetic word over me concerning our life to come. And I went home and wrote that thing down in the back of this my Bible at the time, which Jack gave away later on. I went looking for it, but what I did is every morning, I know, give my things away. But every morning I'd get up and I'd read that. I would speak that. And then when situations in my life came that were just plain old tough and dirty and whatnot, I would start declaring, the word of the Lord says, and this is personal, so I'm not telling you what it was all about, all right? Because I had a part, you have a part, not just to have someone whiff words over your head, all right? You have a part to do something. And so I would say those words. I would act on those words. I would tell the Lord, by the way, you said thus, thus, and thus, and I'm waiting. All right, now, I sound a little sassy now, but I'm not like that always with the Lord, okay? So, now listen, back with Paul telling Timothy, remember those prophecies? They're there to aid you in a warfare. So, Timothy, you have a responsibility, your part with those words. All right? Now, Let's say you're in a large meeting. I love when I get to go to Joyce Myers up in Harrisburg. And there's a large meeting, and she just points over there and says, "You, young man, stand up." And she starts, I'm looking at Brian right now. He's so cute. And he stands up, and she says, I just want to EEC, encourage, edify, and comfort. And she goes on and encourages him. "Yes, I've seen your labors of love. Yes, I see hundreds and even thousands in the prison ministries. And you will set the captives free." Blah, 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 blah. I'm just kind of making it up, okay? Here we go. Now, Brian's responsibility is either let it go over his head, because if it wasn't EEC, that's what you do. But if it wasn't EEC, encouraging, edifying, and comforting, go write that down. Look at that. Speak it forth. And then, why don't you call? And you know, you've had stirrings of this, and you've done a little of this, but you're going, "Well, Lord, that really bears witness in my heart." But I just call Pastor Jim Law up and say, "He's in the prison ministry. That's what I would do." All right? You have a little bit of responsibility to do something with prophecies. Okay? Everybody, you all with me? All right. So, if you're like me and you haven't written down, now I did transfer them after Jack gave my Bible away, which I used to write them down in the back. I have a notebook and I write them down and I get them out and ask God if they're an EEC and what is your part to play to help aid you in the warfare that's going on in this earth and for the things God's called you to do. Okay? Now, all of that was foundational. Okay? I'm going to read this prophecy to you again. Here we go. Now, it's a prophecy. I happen to know the vessel. Anybody know the vessel? He's pretty accredited vessel. All right? And it was an EEC. It was encouraging, edifying, and comforting. And it says, "I will do for you what you've tried to do yourself but could not do. I will cause to come to pass those things which you strive for and try to accomplish in your own strength and your own might, but you just could not make them happen." That's kind of encouraging there, okay? "I will bring them to pass." That's even edifying, all right, and encouraging. "Extraordinary things will become the norm in your life. Things that never happen to most people in a lifetime will happen to you in 1 year. It's time to expect the extraordinary." Okay, that was a prophecy. Did it pass the test? Okay, now, this prophecy, even though it was given a couple years ago, I started combing through the Word of God. It is the Word of God. It still applies today and tomorrow. But you have a responsibility to do something with it. And it may me do backflips and cartwheels. And I want to encourage you on what to do with this. And I'm going to give you the scriptures that he did. Okay, ready? Now, number one, I had to look up what does extraordinary mean. Extraordinary in the dictionary means beyond the common order. Also, beyond the common method. Also, beyond the common course of things. Beyond common. You hear that all the way through? Second part of the definition says that it's remarkable, uncommon, and rare. That's what the word extraordinary means. Oh, remarkable, uncommon, rare. Wow. All right. So what God was saying in this prophecy, once the things that were rare to happen in people's lives are now going to be the norm. All right. Now, I have seen some rare things happen. They're kind of remarkable. But God's saying they're going to become norm. But you have a part to play in this. All right. Now, everybody say remarkable, rare, uncommon. All right. That's what God wants to do. Now, a lot of people say, "Oh, Pastor D, I just can't imagine that happening, extraordinary things, moves of God." Well, then you're not going to have it happen. Sit on it, all right? But if you choose to receive it and have an expectancy, things will happen. And if you're just sick and tired of your life, what do you got to lose here? I challenge you. Start expecting God's rare and uncommon things to move in your life to be common. Normal, excuse me. Okay, now. So there's a lot of people that just flat on to believe it, but in Habakkuk, and turn over to Habakkuk. It's in the back of the Bible. It's before Malachi and Zephaniah and Habababababa. Okay. Habakkuk. H-A-B-K-K-U-K. And if you're like me, you couldn't figure it out, go to the front of your book, find out what page it is, and flip over there. Habakkuk. All right? Habakkuk. Habakkuk? How do you say that, you guys? All right. Amplified says, Habakkuk 1:5. Look around you among the nations and see, and be astonished and be astounded, for I am putting into effect a work in your days such that you would not believe if it were told you. You know what he's saying to Habakkuk in those days? Listen, I'm going to do something marvelous. And there's a whole bunch of you that aren't going to believe it. So it just might pass you by. I don't want to be that. I don't want it to pass by. Why don't you believe the work that God wants to do? Turn your expectancy on for the extraordinary, okay? Now, it's really interesting. In Acts 13:41, you can just write it down. Paul quotes the exact same statement that Habakkuk guy did. All right? He quotes the exact same thing. And you know what he's saying? God wants to do a work. So this was Old Testament and this was New Testament. And the same thing for every generation. God says, I have a work to do that's marvelous. And you aren't going to believe it if you don't want to. But if you turn your expectancy to expect the extraordinary and your responsibility, which I'll give you next, you're going to see that. All right? So God started dealing with me on things that I had stopped expecting God to do. All right? And I said, yes, Lord. Now, we need to start to expect the extraordinary. You have to start. So I'm deciding I'm going to start expecting extraordinary moves of God to the point that it becomes normal in this place and in my life, all right? So review. Extraordinary means to go beyond what's common, to go beyond the common methods or the usual stuff. It also means remarkable, uncommon, and rare. So my responsibility is to get high on my tiptoes and start expecting instead of going, oh, I don't know, that's pretty far out there. You wonder why nothing happens? Maybe it's not. It's never God, y'all. It is never God. It's your place in expecting. So let's get up high. Let's get on our tippy toes and start expecting, all right? Now, let me give you an example where the Lord was nailing me. And don't say, oh, me and oh, ow, when you get to, if it's you. Most of us have a usual method. We go to work. We work X amount of hours a week. And then at the end of your pay period, you get the usual payment. The common, see the words I'm using? The common payment. You get your paycheck. And with that paycheck, you go and pay your mortgage, your car, whatever, your utilities, groceries, stuff your kids need. And you let that paycheck be the common, usual way to sustain your life. But that's the church down there. Because some of y'all are going to start putting some expectancy for extraordinary things, like maybe you have a distant relative that leaves you a hunk of money. Put your expectancy on. Go do, what's that, google.com family tree and see where there are. Okay, and then write them a here in leather, all right? How about expectancy. I don't care what the company says. Are you expecting a bonus? I don't care what the policy is that you have to jump to this position, to this position, to get to this position. I'm a child of the Most High God, so I'm just going to believe, forget them, I'm going to get the position. Get your expectancy for God to do extraordinary things in your life. Besides, what do you got to lose? Right? God started talking to me again about things that I had dropped and stopped my expectancy for God to do extraordinary things. All right? Now, write this down. Number one, God wants us to expect extraordinary things. God wants us to expect. And it didn't say God wants God to expect. It didn't say God wants your husband to expect. He says God wants you to expect. Okay, secondly, God also wants you just forget it. Forget the past where nothing was moving, nothing was shaking. It was only once in a while, all right? Just forget that, all right? The next one, don't limit God by your words out of your mouth. Get a bar of soap. Clean your mouth out. All right? All right, so now, turn over to Isaiah 43. I'm going to give you a good scripture. Of course, you know they're all good, and they're all my favorite. Isaiah 43. I'm telling you, I had to do some really, oh, Lord, really muff that one up. Oh, my gosh, wash my mouth out. Oh, Lord. The Lord just started bringing some light. Because you know what happened? I've been calling out to God for things to change. And he says, well, I'm ready to change, lady, but you got to stop some things out of your mouth and turn your expectancy on, all right? So you may be going, oh, Lord, oh, Lord, oh, Lord, and then you're going, rah, 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 rah. Okay, so this is what this is. This is, all right, was that encouraging, edifying? Okay, anyway. Okay, Isaiah 43, verse 18. Isaiah 43, verse 18. Do not earnestly remember the former things. Forget it if you haven't been doing so good. Forget it if you haven't had things work out. That's what he's saying. Do not remember the former things, neither consider the things of old. Now, this is the exciting part. Behold, I'm doing a new thing. Underline a new thing. I remember, who was one of my kids who said, she said, oh, when she was in college, you know, not amazing prosperous, she lived on peanut butter and jelly, tuna fish, and little applesauce cups. Well, if you're happy in the old thing, that's all you want, you can eat your peanut butter and jelly, tuna fish, and applesauce cups. Or you can turn your expectancy on and start believing for better than that, a new thing. A new thing, a new thing. And, you know, I don't really like change. Anybody like that? And I have criticized new things. And I had to repent. And, you know, and some of those new things weren't God, and they just whiffed away. And some of those new things were good, and I was, all right, so I had to do a little adjusting. All right, you all just have just perfect lives, just smiling out there, saying amen. All right, so Isaiah 43 says God wants to do a new thing. And I got news. You have not seen everything God's going to do yet. Have you? No, you haven't. And, you know, God wants to do new things, so why don't you just shut up and let him do it? That's the way the Lord was talking to me. Okay, I didn't mean to say it to you. He says, why don't you let me do it? I was like, oh, okay. All right, now. So, this is your challenge. Why don't you get up every morning before you put your feet down and say, God, I am expecting you to do extraordinary things. And you start naming them in my relationships, in my finances, in my body, at YCF, in my neighborhood, in this nation. All right? Now listen, y'all go, oh, Jesus is coming back. Well, get your expectancy. He is coming back. And live like it, all right? That's part of it. So every day, God, I turn my expectancy on. I'm expecting you to do extraordinary things in my life, and you just go at it, all right? Do not get out of bed. Do not get $200 past go until you turn your expectancy on. I mean, back in the day, God, I would have said, God, I'm just believing no one's going to spill milk today at my house. You know, I have four kids and they're spilling things and losing things. And I thought, instead of going, oh, I can't believe I got to get up and the baby's going to cry. Yep, there's the baby crying. Get your expectancy for God to do extraordinary things. Start with little things. All right? Okay, I won't say that one. I was going to say something funny. Okay. All right. Okay, now I want to give you a Bible example of somebody who had extraordinary things happen in their life. Turn to Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19. Extraordinary. Extraordinary. What's that old thing? Extraordinary. Read all about it. Whatever that is. Is that a newspaper thing? Extra. Read all about it. Okay. That's nothing. Okay, Acts 19, verse 11 and 12. Now, this is a Bible example. I didn't make this up. I'm not fluffing this. This is right out of the Word of God. Now, I'm going to read this to you, and then I'm going to give you the synopsis. Acts 19, verse 11, and God did unusual. And I'm reading now the Amplified because you won't get it. God did unusual and extraordinary miracles through the hand of, who's that guy? Paul. All right? So that handkerchiefs or towels or aprons which had touched his skin were carried away and put upon. Acts 19, where is it? Here we go. And put upon the sick, and their diseases left them, and the evil spirits came out of them. Now, this guy, Paul, at this point was the Apostle Paul, and he had miracles happen regularly in his life. There was a crippled guy, and he prayed for him at the gate, and he jumped up and he was healed. Ah, that's kind of a miracle. Paul, later on, but I'm going to stick it over here. Paul was bit by some snake, flicked off his hand, and he had miracles. He didn't drop dead. He just got a bunch of things. Now, so the common, everyday things that were happening with Paul were miracles. Okay. But this verse 11 says, and God did unusual and extraordinary, not beyond the common, miracles, hallelujah, by the hands of Paul. Now, personally, I thought Paul's life was pretty good before all of that. All right? But God was going to do something new. And probably the first time, I would have put my foot in my mouth. Well, I don't believe that. But not Paul. Someone must have grabbed his handkerchief, believed, and an expectancy switch went on for extraordinary things, slapped that handkerchief off somebody who had a demon, and the thing left. All right. Now, how do you think Paul was thinking after that? Whoa, new thing. Whoa, I thought it was good when I did. Now I just have to walk down the street and just rub shoulders with me. Okay, I am sure things changed and got gooder and gooder and best. But, guys, we got to keep our expectancy on for the extraordinary. And when God decides to do something just a lot different, just shut up. Go, okay, God, I'm on it with you. All right? I'm on it with you. Now, everybody say, I'm expecting extraordinary things in my life and through my life. Write that down. That's a goodie. All right? I went digging and I found it. Oral Roberts, before he passed away, was sharing with, I think it was shared to Kenneth Copeland. I forgot who the guy was. Sharing with Kenneth Copeland that God was telling Oral Roberts that the common miracles that happened back in the big, is that in the 40s or 50s or both? The big tent revival crusades and Oral Roberts 40s. I wasn't born yet. Okay, that they had incredible miracles happen. Okay? And Oral Roberts, if you know, you were to just summarize his life, you would think of the those big tent crusades and healings, just outrageous, wonderful, magnificent, marvelous things. But God started speaking to Oral at the end of his life, and he says, those things that were happening then. And then he gave a specific example. One night he was preaching, and the Shekinah glory, go look it up in your Bible, okay? I'm going to give you all your references. The cloud of God, the glory of God, they call it the Shekinah glory, rolled into the place, and everything went on the floor. And then they finally got up, and everybody was healed. Nobody laid hands on them. I was like, I got goosebumps just talking about it. All right, so those were actually uncommon things, very rare. I think Brother Robert said he only remembered that one time. But God was telling him at the end of his life that coming soon, those things that were rare, remarkable, uncommon, will soon be happening. They will become the extraordinary norm. But you have a part to play. Y'all have a part to play. I have a part to play. And I just my own personal is there are some great men and women of God, and you call them the biggies, right? And when they gather, they fill out auditoriums. But there's only one of them over here and one of them over here. But I'm telling you, God wants to use you to do this, to have extraordinary things become the norm. So you now have a part in that prophecy. I'm going to read it again. All right. Well, page number, here we go, D. Cashman here. I will do for you what you tried to do yourself but could not do. Think about some of those things. I don't care if it's a relationship. God will do for you something about a relationship. God will do for you something about your finances. God will do something for you that you tried to do about maybe your calling in life, okay? I will do for you what you tried to do but could not do. I will cause to come to pass the things which you have strived for, and tried to accomplish in your own strength. Maybe it's a relationship. Man, they're just making you rip your hair out, and you've been striving, all right? You just couldn't make it happen, but I will bring them to pass for you. Extraordinary things will become the norm in your life. Things that never happen to most people in a lifetime will happen to you in 1 year's time. It's time to expect the extraordinary. All right. Now, it is God's will that every single one of you are used by God to have extraordinary things happen. Number one, if you're born again, you're a new creature, you're a child of God. Once was dead, is now of life. You are filled with the life, the power, all that God is, his amazing grace, his power, his dunamis, and I can just spattle and spittle all over the place, okay? That makes you an extraordinary person. Just right off the bat, all right? So, that's God's will, but it'll not happen for everyone. Just like salvation, it's God's will that all should come to the knowledge of the truth and be saved, right? Yep. But is everybody doing it? Are people going to hell? Why? Because they have not appropriated, they have not embraced, they have not taken in the promise of God. So this prophecy is God's will that every single one of y'all have it work in your life. But it's your decision, okay? Secondly, it'll take the measure of faith. And last time I read that scripture, you all got the measure of faith, all right? You have the faith to just flat out say, well, God, I'm believing this morning for extraordinary things in my family, in my children. Matter of fact, you know, and this and this and this, all right? So that's your responsibility, all right? Turn over to Matthew 9, 27, 28, 29, 30. This is a story of Jesus and two blind guys. Two blind guys, Matthew 9, here we go. Two blind guys come up to Jesus. I don't know if I should start in 27 here. Okay, and Jesus passed from there, from here to there, and two blind men followed him, shouting loudly, "Have pity! Have mercy on us, Son of David!" And when he reached the house and went in, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" And they said to him, "Yes, Lord." Then he touched their eyes, saying, "According to your faith, be it done." And their eyes were opened. Okay, now, it was God's will to heal them. Yes, shake your head. It was God's will to heal them. Yes? Yes. Okay, but you know what Jesus did? He's slick. He put the responsibility on them to do something. Same with this prophecy. God puts the responsibility on you to believe the word of God or a prophecy, all right? And the responsibility, he said, "Do you believe I can do this?" And they're like, yeah. Let me read it out of the Message Bible because it's even better. "Do you really believe I can do this?" They said, "Why, yes, Master." And he touched their eyes and said, "Become what you have believed." So listen, there's bad things happening in this earth. People complain about the economy. You can complain about things that are going on in your family situation, in your work situation. You can listen to religious people and say, "Oh, that's a bunch of fooey-looey, what you just said, Pastor D." Well, fine. If you want to stay there, go for it. But I don't want to stay there no more. I want to keep my expectancy on so high that I start seeing extraordinary things. And listen, I pray for you, so you're already on it. Extraordinary things to happen in your life, not only mine. And you know why? Because when you start turning your expectancy on and God starts doing extraordinary things in and through you, God's got a second plan. I was like, plans within plans. You start seeing multitudes touched by this. Not just bless me. The whole purpose of having extraordinary things happen in my life is not just to make my life cushy and comfortable, though I'm taking it. But the second part is that you will start doing and expecting for other people and being involved in other people's lives so that they might know the God of glory, the God Almighty, who loves, who's still alive, still doing extraordinary things. So, stand up, y'all. Please? Stand up, please. All right. Stand up, please. All right. Everybody say, EEC. Yes, okay, now say, "I am expecting extraordinary things in my life and through my life." Okay, now, there's nothing worse than becoming a fat, big butt Christian. I know a whole heap bunch of them, and all they do is gorge themselves. Now, I want you to really hear me in serious. You have to get quiet for a second. I want you right now to turn your expectancy on for extraordinary things. For God to move through you. Hey, I am not extraordinary, but the extraordinary one lives in me. Right? I'm just me. But I know who lives me. And when you know who lives in you, who you are, you'll know what to do. All right? Now, I want you to get quiet and think. The greater one lives in me. The one who yanked Jesus out of hell and seated him at the right hand of God. That one with all his power and might lives in me. My God, power, dunamis, ability is in me. And I am turning my switch of faith on that God will move through me. And I'd like you now to pray with your spouses if you came with a spouse. If you don't, I want girls to pray with girls. Forget this guy-girl thing, all right? Can't be best friends with boys after 6 years old, all right? I could tell you stories. Just come and tell me, all right? I want you to pray for somebody with your expectancy on for extraordinary things to happen through this prayer. If somebody says, I'm believing I've got this issue in my body, don't freak out and go, whoa, I better get Pastor D. No, the supernatural, extraordinary God lives in you. If you've got all hell blooming at your house, don't go, oh, it's a bad one. This is going to be bad. Get your expectancy on and pray right now. After you can, listen, if I just scared the willies out of you and you want to sneak out, that's fine. But the rest of you, we're time to pray with one another. This is not about a one-man show. I could all have you come up front, get in this nice line. Pastor D would turn her expectancy on and pray for you and pray for you and pray for you. Heck no! You need to act on the Word of God, right? All right. Put on some background music, Darlene. We're going to pray. Amen. All right. I'm looking for someone.